Hey, what it do, what the business is. It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Another week in the books, as Spike Lee would say. Episode 308 of the On Deck TV podcast is here. We are breaking down that big Crit album that just dropped over the weekend. Crit is here. We will rate, review, debate, and discuss as we always do. This episode is brought to you by the Needle app. All right, Needle is a free app that converts audio into text so that radio listeners can search live content as easily as they search the web. All right, any person with the app can add their own voice to the live search results and become instantly searchable by the words they say. All right, that's Needle, N-E-D-L. Go get the app. It's lit. As always, this is brought to you by Realville Media Group. Do me a favor. Go to realvillemedia.com. Check out all the shows on the network.
All the shows on the network are going to consist of FSP. That's the Full Sport Press. Go check out J-Hove. Go check out Big Jeff. Go check out Howeezy and the FSP cameraman that never takes pictures. This last week, man, they discussed their player comps for the latest NBA draft. They made sure that you know who the incoming players were comped wise, and they gave you some good insight and did it FSP style. Don't forget to tell a friend about the latest episode of the Full Sport Press podcast. Appreciate those guys. Also, we have a brand new edition of the Fresh for Dummies podcast. Animal Brown, J-Hove doing their thing over there, giving you the latest. This one is the Terry Gucci slides. Excuse me, Terry Cloth Gucci slides. This is the latest episode of the Fresh for Dummies podcast, issue number 49 for Fresh for Dummies. We appreciate you joining us. Go to realvillemedia.com and check out all the episodes.
Hey, what it do, what the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, how does your boy Animal Brown, Animal_Brown, if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snap.
I am Spike Lou on the same social media sites.
Producer M Extra was goody.
It's your boy M Extra Parmesan. I didn't Sir Gento in the building. M Extra 3 on all things social media. M-X-T-R-A, the number 3.
When they get one subscriber to his little track, his little playlist, and one. Got all these different names and shit.
One sounds a lot different than a plethora.
One and a plethora. Extra
Parmesan. What you have on deck for the weekend?
My weekend was slow motion. Didn't get into much. What did you guys have up?
Shout out to AMC. I was in the building.
You're keeping them open.
I saw Crawl.
Give it was lights dope. On for sure.
Yeah. Very nice little man versus wild. Alligator versus human. Pretty dope. It was entertaining as fuck. Jumped a couple times, couple of good jump scares.
Oh.
It was good. It was effective. Straight to the point. 90 minutes, in and out. Let's go.
It had to be a date night movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because she jumped 5 times. I only jumped like twice.
Right into your arms.
Absolutely. That's the whole point
that's
of
to do it, huh?
Making
that's
this date a date night. Gotcha. Absolutely. What you have on deck, sir?
I had a couple of things going on. Shout out to Bird. Kicked with him a little bit on Thursday.
Shout out Bird, man.
Shout out
what
to,
it do?
This weekend I went to go visit my mother in Huntsville, Alabama. Shout out to Huntsville, Alabama.
Shout out Mom Dukes.
Alabama A&M. Had a good time there. Shout out to my brother and my sister as well. So family time this weekend.
I can respect it. I ain't been to Alabama in a minute. Is Huntsville where the space joint is?
That is correct. NASA.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
The NASA. Space joint.
Yeah, some shit. Shout out to Huntsville, man. Most definitely. Now, we got a lot to get to, all right? We are going to break down this big Crit album.
Yes, sir. Can't remember in time.
Let's talk about whether it lives up to the Crit was here that we hold so high in regard. But first, we're going to talk Jermaine Dupri. Now, JD caused a firestorm on social media last week while being interviewed by People Magazine. When asked about which female rapper he is rocking with in the game right now, he responded by saying, and I quote, "I can't really say. I feel like they're all rapping about the same thing. It's like strippers rapping. As far as rap goes, I'm not getting who is the best rapper," end quote. Now, fans and even Cardi herself took to social media to name drop several ladies who are killing the game right now. Jermaine Dupri has since announced an all-female cypher to shine more light on the ladies that are highlighting bars. Now, my question, was the reaction to his comments overblown, and was creating the cypher the right call?
Since this happened, Jermaine Dupri has came in and cleaned up his statements on Van Lathan's podcast, and he did say, from how he understood it, the question that is from People Magazine, who is his favorite between the three that were mentioned? There were two ladies interviewing him. They mentioned Megan Thee Stallion. They mentioned Cardi B.
Yep.
And they mentioned Nicki Minaj. So he said in response to that, he didn't have a favorite because they're all, those three, are rapping about stripping.
Lies.
So that's what he said.
Lies.
With that being said, and if that's the context that he wants to use it in, I think that people react too quickly these days to have an opinion. Jermaine Dupri knows that, being a veteran of the game, so he knew the platform that he was on. He knew this would get him traction while he's doing his documentary thing. I feel like that if he really felt that way, Jermaine Dupri being the businessman that he is or should be doing, as far as from his perspective, is addressing that issue. If he felt like all female rappers were rapping about the same thing, I feel like Jermaine Dupri has enough sway, has enough leeway to be able to put some skin in the game and change that and to control an effective market, because everybody is flocking to the female now. So if he honestly felt that that was lacking in the game and they were not having substance, then I feel like that he would address that in a different way. I do think, going back and doubling and listening to it, that he was only considering those three when he said that.
Okay.
And I think that people are quick to want to be in an outrage for different things. It works for him. He, every couple of years, does something to stir the pot to get things surrounding him going. On his TV show, he had Rhapsody on there last year. She was one of the secret contestants that were judging the ladies that were on the rap show. So I don't think that he's ignorant to the fact that there are other female rappers.
Right.
And I do think that he was taken out of context when he said this, and he cleaned it up well, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I'm along those same lines. In the words of the Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
I'll check you out. That's
so
a great
I'm
movie
deep.
Quote.
I know I'm a beast. Yeah. So the problem is that when people make these comments, whether it be on social media or when they have their blurbs taken out of interviews, and you get the headline, you know, Jermaine Dupri says all female rappers are stripper rappers or whatever the headline said. That's where people get misconstrued, because they draw conclusions of what they think that he meant, and they end up reaching, going entirely too far. The narrative that was going on over the weekend was, who is Jermaine Dupri to say what women can and cannot talk about? The narrative over the weekend was, Jermaine Dupri, but what about the guys who all talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll,
which is
and all
true.
Of that shit?
Which is all true.
Yeah, more than one thing can be true at a time, but what I don't need is people to all lives matter me to death. When we're talking about one subject, you bring in something else that may be true, but has nothing to do with the question that was asked to him or the subject at hand.
It's true in a sense of, what about when black people kill people?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what is true in a sense.
That's the all lives matter shit that I'm talking about. No, that's
the exact analogy.
I'm going to let y'all finish. Go ahead.
In the way, like, well, go ahead. Were you done?
Absolutely not. Now, the problem is people coming to these conclusions and they're skipping over what I feel was blatantly obvious, which was that he was referring to mainstream female artists. If you look at the mainstream female artists that are popping right now, the aforementioned Megan, Cardi, Nicki, you maybe could even throw City Girls in. They may not be on that level yet, but those are the ones who get abundant coverage on internet, TV, and radio. Their whole basis, their brands are based on the same thing. It's that sex sales for those particular artists.
Yeah.
But those are the ones who have the most juice right now. That is clearly what he meant when he said that. Now, Jermaine Dupri is out of touch, though. He's 100% out of touch, and that's what out-of-touch people do. They only reference what is on surface level and above. So you can name Cardi's 100% right. You can name Tierra Whack. You can name Kamaya.
Fire.
You can name Rhapsody.
Fire.
You can name all of those people that are dope, No Name, all of them. However, you can't name one song of any of those people that are on the radio or TV. That's you can't do.
But,
so that's what out-of-touch people do. That's how we get Macklemore winning Album of the Year over Kendrick Lamar, because out-of-touch people voted, and they're only familiar with what's came across their radar.
I ain't going to do Jermaine Dupri like that, though. I ain't going to say
that's
that.
What happened.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm not going to say that he doesn't know these things, or he only knows these things on a surface level. I think that, like he said, if these are the three ladies that you're mentioning to me, two ladies from people who may not know a lot about hip-hop, I don't want to go over your head and start talking about a Tierra Whack or start talking about a Rhapsody, and now I'm sitting here with the crickets playing because no one knows what I'm talking about. Like you said, those ladies are not on the radio. And he would have went over their head and looked like the crazy hip-hop guy had he been there saying those ladies' names. He'd had to talk about his documentary. I'm not here to talk about female rap. I'm not here to talk about any of that. If you ask me who my favorite female rapper is, I tell you out of those three that I don't have a favorite. Out of those three, that these are the subjects that they're talking about and that really don't move me. That's, I mean, we can't knock him for having an opinion.
Nope. Yeah.
Too many people want to knock him for having an opinion in 2019, and that's why we get the complaints that you and I would have of people not doing press, people not doing these things, because they don't want their words to be misconstrued. And now, in my plans, I went out here to do a documentary promo run, and I got to answer all these questions about female rap every time that I sit down with somebody now.
Oh, God. I don't know what is worse from you guys' take. I do agree with what you said about him being out of touch. He's clearly out of touch.
Yeah, no, that's
he's
fine.
He's clearly out of touch, and you guys are shooting him major bail.
No.
But
me too.
Let's start here. Okay. Do you guys feel – so you guys feel all the outrage was unwarranted, all of it, or
yes.
is it just too much?
No, I think that people were doing too much.
But you feel some was warranted?
I think if the outrage would have been, come on, Jermaine Dupri, you're out of touch, that's one thing. But Jermaine Dupri, you can't tell these ladies what to rap about, that was completely unwarranted.
Okay, so
I don't know
picking,
where that came
and from. You just think all of it was unwarranted?
I think that the outrage with him to do – well, the fake outrage I feel like was unwarranted, what? Not the actual
so,
outrage.
So you're going to tell women how to believe?
Not
fake outrage.
Not women in general. when you take something out of context of what someone says – and then you run with it. And when you run with it and you say, I want to comment on this because this is a hot button issue, which I feel like a lot of people did. Nobody took time out to say, this is was the actual question. This is what he actually addressed. Okay. Even when it was posted on the Shade Room, they didn't even post the question.
Okay.
They posted his response, and then they posted, Jermaine Dupri says all female rappers are stripping this and that.
It's clickbait.
But
that's
there's
not
a video.
What he said.
There's
so
a video.
If you're clicking on it for that and you're going in with that intention from that headline, yeah,
but there's a video,
outreach.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Cut okay. video.
No, edited there's a video,
video
right?
Edited. So the video.
But there's a video. Does it edited. Exist? Yes
edited.
Or no?
It exists.
There's
right.
edited video.
So
yes.
on the video that is shown that Cardi B responded to, Ari Lennox responded to. I love Cardi's and Ari Lennox responses, especially Ari. Ari's had a funny freestyle response.
She did, and she was ripping it.
The thing is, Jermaine Dupri was asked this question, and he began to answer the question. He was fumbling a little bit at the front, and that's right. why they shot him those names. I don't believe he was just talking about this. It's good. It makes sense to say, oh, I was only talking about those names they asked me. But I don't think that was the case. And furthermore, to go on and say, oh, none of it doesn't matter what they talk about. They ask you, who do you believe is the best? You can just say, I don't know. Don't just shit on them and say all they're talking about is stripping. It's not really rapping.
Well, to be that's, fair, she asked him. She said, she said, so you're not
your
into Cardi?
Yeah,
no,
she
asked him
yeah.
what you're into. When
exactly.
She
say,
dropped,
I don't have.
When she name dropped Cardi and Megan, and he was like, she was like, oh, you're not into Cardi? That's when he said, no, not really, yeah. because X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, right. but my point is you can see why females and hip hop, I saw males upset about this as well, because it's true. Like Wayno said on Everyday Struggle, he said the same thing. Males can rap about whatever they want to rap about and still be considered the best. It doesn't matter. It can be the same thing. You know how many rappers are rapping around about drug dealing and coke, and 90% are lying, but they never get criticized for it?
And none of them are considered the best because everybody talks about Drake.
Kendrick
and J. Cole.
That's not true.
Those not the three A-listers?
No, but see, the thing is, you're trying to compartmentalize there's only three people. He was talking about females in general. You shouldn't. I'm not giving him that at all.
I think he was talking about
mainstream. If you're a producer, this is how out of touch and ignorant he sounded on this show is, if you're a legendary producer who claimed you did so much for Atlanta and so much for hip hop, you should know up and coming female rappers.
That's not true.
Period.
No, how is that possible?
How you can't?
He not in the game right now. So
if you're not in the game, you can't talk about it.
Right.
If you're not in the game, he should have said, "I don't know."
He did say that.
No, he didn't.
And they
he criticized women. He did not say, "I don't know." He criticized them. He criticized what they talk about. He criticized their skills. That's what he did.
He criticized the three women that were mentioned.
And yeah, actually, criticism.
He gave his opinion. It wasn't even actually a criticism. He didn't say, "I don't like that they rap about this." He said they're all rapping about the same things in context to those three women.
And I'm not into that.
And I'm not into that. What people like to do nowadays and what people like to get outraged, and you say you're not shooting a mini bail, that's fine. But if you're not going to shoot a mini bail, at least listen to what the man said.
I heard exactly what he
you
said.
You heard what he said, but you're not listening to the context of it. Because he gave context, and then you're saying, well, he meant this. He got a whole interview that's an hour long explaining and saying, no, I didn't mean that. I'm speaking
after
in reference to these three people.
After
it don't matter if it's after or before.
Yes, it does matter.
If I'm giving you context to something that I say, you can't then turn and say, Now your context don't matter. Because you with this.
It's PR, bro. Right. He saw the outrage and he was on there like, people, oh my
we
God.
We commend people here all the time for having good PR. So if his PR team is good enough to turn this ship around in 24 hours and him to say, well, you know, actually this
it.
Was the question.
Nobody bought it though.
But you're not buying it. I bought it. No. It sounds legit to me.
I thought it before he explained it. So I didn't need him to explain that to know that he was only referring to mainstream artists. Bro.
Well, regardless, okay. You can say that. You can
and
say
not
that.
Even mainstream. He's referring to the three people that were mentioned to him.
But they are also the three mainstream.
The three mainstream okay. artists. And like and like I said, to shoot him, Bill, he says, in my mind frame, I'm here to talk about my documentary.
That doesn't matter.
I'm not here to talk about the hottest three rappers. So if you all put me by a question, and then you follow that up with three answers, I'm going to go with that because you're the interviewer. You're leading this. So if you say those three names after you ask me a question, I'm going to say, yeah, because really, I'm trying to glide past this. I'm here to talk about my documentary.
Well, he
should have
said that. He should have said that.
Let's be honest.
You're an asshole.
His response was worse.
Let's be honest.
You criticize females. You call them strippers. You did. That was all criticism. So every female who had something to say about this had a right to say something about it. And for you to sit up here and say they didn't have a right makes it worse.
Now, they have right to do whatever they like, but you, if
you said it was fake outrage. You said it was fake outrage.
The people that didn't take the people that didn't take the time to listen to
toxic
all of
masculinity
it,
all in this room.
The people that didn't take the time to listen to all of it, I call fake outrage.
That's all I'm saying.
It's just like even with regular politics, when you just read the headlines of someone in politics or whoever it may be.
So you mean the fans, not the artist's response?
Listen, I'm saying
even
this.
The artist
was Cardi's response so justified? Like,
if okay,
was Cardi's response justified?
This is the question. This is the question that he posed, and I will pose this to you since you say it's real outrage. Has a rapper, a female rapper that's in Baltimore, Atlanta, Texas, whatever it may be, that those ladies didn't mention, why would they take offense to this if nobody knows who they are? He don't know what they're rapping about.
Because
what's offensive about this to you?
Because of what you missed what I said at the beginning. It was offensive to all female rappers in general. Because
why?
Because of what he said about them. He made this. At the end, after the interview, he made it seem like he was only talking about three people, but he was talking about the genre in itself in general.
You know how ignorant Jermaine Dupri would have to be to sit there and
he
be like,
all females rap about is stripping.
Like he, no,
he said all they
fam,
rap about.
The three people
no,
that
he
they
he didn't specify.
If that was his thought and process and belief system,
he
then why would he have Rhapsody on
said,
his
I don't
show?
Know.
Why would he have, like.
So why did he bring up Rhapsody? If he know who Rhapsody
because
is.
His track record speaks for itself. And that's why I'm talking about the fake outrage. This man got the.
So why did he bring up Rhapsody?
Arguably is behind the best female rapper ever.
Exactly.
So
you're someone, proving my point. He looks dumb.
So for someone to say, who are you, Jermaine Dupri, to even say this about female rappers when he found the Brat, that's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
his new generation.
You know what everyone else is saying to your point?
What's
he
that?
Found the Brat. He should know better.
No, that's that. No, hold on.
He should know better.
You can't build that.
He should know better.
That was 30 years ago. Like, just because. You did something.
He just said he had Rhapsody in the studio. He didn't mention Rhapsody at all.
No, but I'm going to tell you why. He was thrown off by the references oh that they God. Gave. That's not that far-fetched. I promise
it's not.
Thrown
I
off.
Not. I promise you it's
yeah,
not.
He said, so he was thrown off, and they said, who's your favorite female rapper? They gave examples after he started to answer.
Right.
And so he was thrown off by them categorizing the
yes,
rappers.
Yes, he switched his focus to answer who to address who they had said. All that's right. What I'm saying. That's not, there's okay. No way that big of a stretch.
And all it is in my opinion, like,
Mr.
people
Fantastic.
Are trying to have another conversation based off his answer.
That's
he wasn't trying
problem.
To have that conversation.
It
so if you
though.
Ask him with the context of, hey, let's talk about female rap, what's wrong with it, what you like about it, your opinion on it, then he's going to give you a much more thought out answer
I
than
hope
all
so.
Of them sound like strippers.
I would hope so.
He has the track record and the resume that states that he would.
Yeah, and if he had that, one would think he would never be in this predicament in the first place.
First of all, the reason he's in
that's,
predicament
that's
is because people overreacted.
Like,
that,
people,
that's the argument.
Yeah. People make mistakes.
I think
I think
the reaction
to,
was justified.
Even to say that's why he's in this predicament, he's done a great job, in my opinion, of cleaning it up. Like, no,
really?
I ain't seen nobody. Like, he has an interview that's an hour long, 24 hours later. I don't know how long they've been in the cuss, but they addressed it on Van's interview, and that came out today. This happened
exactly
at the
because
this
guess
week.
What it is? Let's clean it up, Jermaine.
You know,
let's
you know
clean
what
it up,
it is,
Jermaine.
Is you got press now? You got your biography that's coming out. Let's use this, clean it up, and go ahead about your day.
Yeah,
here's the
he fumbled big time.
Here's the thing, and this is what, to Wayno's point that you just threw out there because I don't believe that show still comes on.
Shout out to Wayno for the VP.
That was his opinion. Like, Jermaine Dupri gave his opinion on what his preference is. So for people to take that and say, oh, what are you
Did
saying,
he?
Jermaine Dupri? They can't rap about this? They can't rap. He never said anything close to that, though. He said, to me, when they asked him what his favorite is. Bro, no lie, I bullshit you not. I've heard, and people have actually commented on the On Deck TV podcast IG. I've heard women say that they talk about the same shit.
That doesn't
shit,
mean
bro.
It's right, though.
No, but what I'm saying.
It don't mean that it's right to state out a fact.
But he said, no, he said, it's not a fact, number one.
What?
Number two is, he said it in a negative light. So, he said all they rap about is stripping. It's a stripper who used, that's negative. How he said it was negative. You said context. Context is everything. He came off as negative, and that's why he got his ass blasted. And he deserved to get a donkey the other day.
For him, though, he was giving his, they asked what is his favorite.
Doesn't matter. His answer was wrong.
It
does. Why do you think this happens?
Matter.
How is his opinion?
You can't
wrong
tell
about
me what I
like.
Now, how he answered it was incorrect.
What?
He can have his opinion.
Nah, but that's the problem today and why people don't do press and
well, he should
and,
shut up.
And why people are so closed off when it comes to social media, when it comes to doing interviews, because of what you just said. It doesn't matter the cleanup, it doesn't matter the PR. What matters is you said this as if people don't make mistakes.
I didn't say people can't make mistakes.
Let's say that he did mean everything that you said. He since came back out and cleaned it up.
And that's
people
fine.
Are still, no, it's not fine because you still at his head about it. Because
it's
people
a topic.
Are still outraged about it. Nah,
I didn't
true,
give a chance to speak about
true
it.
True that, but people are still outraged about it even if you come out today time and say, you know what, I did make a mistake. People still want your head on a stake, and that's the problem that you have when you're not getting a lot from your celebrities now.
I don't agree with that. I mean,
and then on top of that, he announced a cypher with all – females giving females that we've never heard opportunities to shine. And people are like, oh, so
now you
want to
do this.
You want to give people a chance to shine that we've never heard? Fuck out of here.
Now you
want to
put female rappers on. Yeah.
You can't
What's
win for losing, yeah. dude.
What's the problem with that?
I mean, but you guys don't. Bro, guys know why people are saying
I know this is a slow news week.
I mean,
understand.
Come on.
But like,
all
let's
of
be
us,
honest,
I'm just let me fix this problem and
come
have
on,
females rap for me and show me with their skills.
Nah, give them a platform.
Well, I tell you.
I feel like that wouldn't have been set up in 2 days as far as let me fix this problem. I feel like that may have already been out there. It may have gotten more recognition because of this.
Dude, the overreaction was blatant. Like, we clearly know who he was talking about. And that's clearly again, I have heard women say this multiple times way before Jermaine Dupri did. Like, nothing he said was mind-blowing.
So, okay, I got to ask you one last question.
Sex sales, do they not have the same premise? Is their brand not sex sales?
Let me ask you one last question. Has Megan Thee Stallion ever been a stripper in her life?
No, he was clearly talking about Cardi and...
Oh, now y'all Ooh. Mentioned Megan at the beginning of the...
Did the lady not say, so you don't like Cardi B? Did
and Megan Thee Stallion. And he mentioned Megan Thee Stallion, did he not?
The lady mentioned Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah, she mentioned and guess what and guess what he said? All of them are like former strippers. Megan never stripped.
He didn't say all of them were former strippers. All
right.
He said all of them
rap making
about
sex... based music.
That doesn't make his comments correct, man. He said it in a negative fashion. I get it.
Everybody's
very chauvinistic. It's okay.
No,
it's not being chauvinistic.
It's very, because you know,
everybody
just told women they shouldn't feel this way.
Nah,
you said it's fake outrage.
It's not about telling women how they should
you
feel.
You just told them they shouldn't feel this way.
Everyone wants to come up off a reaction. Everybody want to do reaction videos.
Who's coming up off this?
Everybody wants to comment in the shade room and have this rapport with other people who they think agree with them, and everybody wants to jump on a topic when it's not even a big deal.
It's not
in one way, shape, or form was trying to be disrespectful. You could have taken it for however you wanted to take it, but then if you even look further on the clip, it's given context. I feel like that everybody wants to jump in this arena of, hey, my comment matters more than your comment. Hey, you
that
said this,
anything.
I agree with you. And
that
that's what people
anything.
Are doing as far as their backlash to Jermaine Dupri.
He didn't say they were whack or nothing. He just said
he
that's not
his
preference.
He didn't say anything to that.
He said that wasn't
you don't
his
have
preference.
To think your comment is disrespectful for it to be disrespectful. FYI.
No, I agree with that, true, but his words
okay.
are disrespectful.
That's all I'm going to say.
And I thought Cardi handled it well.
Yeah.
I thought Cardi handled it well.
Cardi bodies
PR. Yeah, I thought she handled
every
it well.
Every time she come out and say something, I feel like
she didn't take offense.
Well, Cardi was saying a lot of things that you guys disagree with, though.
But she didn't take in my opinion, the way she came off, she didn't take offense to it.
Even if someone disagrees, it's not. I mean, we just have two different opinions.
That's true.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Because that was ridiculous. Tech N9ne, we're going to take it to Kansas City. Now, the KCMC has been lauded as being one of the most successful independent hip-hop artists of all time. Well, a person close to the situation is saying that Tech isn't exactly what it seems. The person named Minicity on Instagram,
I guess so,
claims that Tech N9ne is being used by his business partner. Now, the business partner allegedly owns everything, and Tech simply leases it through him. Mm. The cars, the home, the warehouse. Nothing is in Tech's name.
Everything that we praise him for.
Exactly. Does this make you look at Tech differently, or does this sound like business politics as usual?
I think it's a little bit of both. It makes me look at Tech a lot differently, especially because that's what his name is, in my eyes, made from. I don't listen to his music. I'm not a big fan. But when you mention Tech N9ne, it's always mentioned the factories of merch that he has out in the Midwest and the tours that he does independently, the artists, the strange music. All of that comes up and is tied into his music and his persona. So if you're now telling me that all of this is just he's the front man and there's some Cadillac Records, Cash Money type, Paul Rosenberg, NWA, Eazy-E type shit going on, then I have a problem with that, because there has to be some situation where we can look to and be like, this dude is winning. And we thought that Tech N9ne was that guy. We highly praise him. Like I say, even though I don't listen to his music, every time that I hear of him or speak of him, people speak in high praise because of the business acumen. So if now you're coming behind me and you're telling me that this guy that works with him is just pulling strings and he's a puppet, I think that takes away from his brand.
It
makes it a lot less impactful as far as what it was.
It takes a lot away from his brand, because that was his brand. He's done interviews with Forbes before.
Yes.
He's made their cash cows list, making about $8 to $9 million a year on some of those lists. And to our knowledge, that has been done all independently. If you're doing that with a huge ass machine behind you or something of that nature, then you don't get those same looks that you maybe would have normally. This reminds me a lot of the Young Dolph situation that happened earlier in the year when he had been claiming this entire time to be independent. It turns out he said he signed a deal or two, and so that may have been a little fugazi. Now, with this situation, it's a little tricky, because they're saying that Tech N9ne's business partner is doing some of this behind his back, and that he owns a lot of the stuff that he's loaning it to Tech, so he's kind of getting paid twice behind it. And so they're saying that he's been being done unfairly. So I don't know if Tech N9ne is aware of all of this. That's a little bit of the difference. Like a Cadillac Records situation, or like maybe a Blueface, how we looked at him when he signed the 10 labels. And then when those questions arise about who are you signed to, he gets gifted a Porsche by his CEO. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, we look at stuff like that, like, oh, he don't know what's going on. Like, he's clueless. This might be a situation with Tech where he simply doesn't know that his business partner is robbing him, allegedly, because this isn't necessarily fact. This is just a source
close to the accusation.
These are accusations with a source close to the situation.
Exactly.
You spoke of the Forbes, and one of the accusations is that is not tangible money that they're reporting there, that that's all stock in the corporation, that none of it is tangible as far as assets. So that would take a lot away from it as well, meaning that everything.
And dude own the assets. They say dude own all of this shit.
Owned all by a parent company.
Yeah, my whole thing is, who is they?
Oh,
just like we said.
Menacity.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, well,
that's his name.
Who gives a fuck? Like, really, man, who is this guy? Like, you come on here and try to expose this man. Obviously, you have an axe to grind. Yeah.
You're not biting, is what you're saying?
No. Because I don't like this.
Go ahead. Artemis.
That's your guy, right?
Yeah.
He reported on this saying it was fact.
Yeah. I was just about to say
that. Yeah, Artemis did, but we don't have any facts about it. I mean, he put a very good story about it. He put a very good story about the guy being related to someone else who was in a record company as well. That's all. But in Tech N9ne's situation,
right,
it could be true or it couldn't be true.
Yeah.
So,
the question is, would we look at him differently if it was true?
And I don't look at him differently because I don't look at him at all. So I don't. disrespect. I mean, no disrespect. I'm just not a fan. So I wouldn't look at him differently at all.
I was a huge fan of his business.
Yeah, the reason why people even did look at him, if it wasn't for the music, was business.
He has a cult fan, follower.
Yeah, but the reason that he reached even here, what we're talking about him as far as the topic, is because of the business aspect of it. So yeah, I think it takes away a lot. You do look at him differently. And as far as the validity of it, yeah, I mean, some stuff true, some stuff ain't. We don't know.
Right.
But Artemis has a long track record, as our group text would state. If you defending him.
Yeah, he does.
Actually, different stuff. So
it's an industry insider.
Irony there with you saying
irony or irony?
With you saying you don't believe this specific post and everything else you do believe. So I do think that there is some validity to it. One reason is because
You believe it then.
I said there's probably some validity to it. I don't think that this guy made all this up in a lie just out of spite. Like, ain't nobody got that much time.
Well, he's angry at somebody.
But I do think the Tech N9ne would have addressed it. I was looking for
why would he address this?
I was looking for something.
It's a big deal though.
For it to be said as far far as either him or the guy that they're claiming of doing is the O-Gun, Travis O-Gun guy, Gwen. I would look for either one of them to at least have something to say about it, and they didn't.
I'm not surprised.
And I think that that's kind of sketch in its own as far as them trying to regroup and figure out how they address this.
Well, you don't need to discuss business in the public at all.
Why would he say anything?
Yeah, but why would I address that? I don't care.
It depends on how hot it gets.
Because your business, in his case, is a part of your profile. Your business, you can't say, if he were to go do an interview tomorrow and he say, well, I don't address my business in public, fam, he's built 20 years of notoriety off of that business.
No, Jay-Z doesn't discuss business in public.
Jay-Z has good music.
What? now you're taking shots at him as a rapper. Now you sound ridiculous.
Damn, if Tech Nine, if Tech Nine is on the Breakfast Club, it's not because of his music 100%. Right?
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. It's half.
So
and
do
half.
people
he's come up
are
off
people
his music.
Looking to hear from Tech Nine for his business ventures or his music?
Both.
He does have a cult following. Y'all are right.
Yeah,
about
what
that.
Are you talking
but
about?
But if you're on a bigger platform than your cult following offers, people are going to want to know why. It's not the music, because that's cult following type music. It's going to be about the business.
It's going to be more about the business because they're not playing any of his shit on one of
exactly.
On
the, they've never heard him on. They have to explain why it's here.
Listen, if it's not going to affect my bottom line as an artist, I'm not getting. I don't think this
will affect
this. It's not going to affect him. Why would I address this?
Nah, because his fans, the cult guys,
they don't care.
Yeah, that's my point. I would never address this. Ever.
That's a fact. It might affect his bottom line if his guy is actually raping him. But
that's a bottom story. Line has been exposed.
That's a different story. Yes.
Bottom line has been exposed.
All right, man. Moving on to Kevin Gates. Gates is currently under investigation for violating Louisiana Department of Corrections visitor rules. Now, while visiting his uncle Lee Lucas and incarcerated rappers Mac and C Murder, Gates took a pic for the gram while holding several hundred dollars in front of his face. Now, the Elin Hunt Correctional Center policy prohibits visitors from bringing in more than $300. Any amount above that is considered contraband. Is the jail doing too much, or should Gates have known better?
He should have known better. And the reason being is he not too long got out of jail. I think he was in the same jail that they were in. And I feel like it was a flex that he was going to do and feel like nobody was going to do anything about it, which they probably won't. He ain't going to be threatened with jail time or anything like that. The worst would be is he probably can't go see his uncle no more. I feel like it was a flex that he didn't have to do, and that's part of the problem with Kevin Gates doing unnecessary stuff, saying unnecessary shit to kind of get him in where people looking at him like, what? Like, why? Like, there's no reasoning behind in some people's eyes to a lot of the stuff that he does, and people find it difficult to understand as to why he's even so popular in the first place. I think with Kevin Gates, he's erased the middle ground with his actions. Either people love him and they fuck with his music, or you mention his name to somebody and immediately they're like, I hate dude, because he thinks he's so deep and he shoots this prison jailhouse knowledge and whatever it may be that they want to say about or gripe about with him. So I do think that he's erased that middle ground doing things like this, putting himself in situations where it's so high profile where he didn't have to do it at all. And he's a good enough artist where the music can speak for himself.
Yeah.
For itself.
It was a flex, and it was a very weird flex.
That's Kevin Gates.
The first thing I saw.
King of the weird flex.
The first thing I thought when I saw this picture, which was him, C Murder, Mac, and his uncle, and they were sitting at a table, and he was holding the money up in front of his face is, why is he holding the money up in front jail. Of his face in jail?
In jail.
I didn't understand what the point of that was. I thought it was in bad taste. Like, I get it. I get the money phone shit. I actually get all of that. I understand why somebody would hold thousands of dollars in their hand for the gram if you're of a certain age and, you know,
you get
came
it.
Up on. I do understand that, because holding a lot of money actually does feel pretty good.
Yeah.
Weird flex.
Ignorant. Okay.
No, it actually feels good. I understand that part of it. However, why would you do that in jail? It comes off as disrespectful to the people who are locked up.
Because I feel like he's not trying to disrespect the people that are locked up.
That's how it comes
I'm
off,
trying
though.
To disrespect the administrators, because I've been here. I know the rules. I've had problems with this shit before. And now that I finally got in and I'm on the outside and I'm able to do it, I can say, fuck y'all.
Do
fuck
that
y'all
in a solo
rules.
Pick then, dude.
Hey, I mean,
do
hey.
That in a solo pick out front. Like, don't do that when you sit next to people doing life.
Isn't that the story of Kevin Gates' career, though? Isn't that what we find ourselves saying about him mostly? He took off with Luca Brasi too, goes to jail, gets in an incident. He had the incident where he kicking the chick that was doing the whole, when he did the concert.
Right.
It seems like every time that we are mentioning Kevin Gates, it's always about something that not pertaining to his music, and then he still go out and sell 100K, so you can't say it's taken away from him, but I, like I say, it erases the middle ground. Either you fans of him or you don't fuck with him at all. He don't give you a chance to be like, ah, he all right. I like his music, because he turns you off by doing some of the other gross shit.
Yeah, Mr. Kevin Gates, don't you ever change, buddy. This is what the entertainment industry needs, people like you. So keep on trucking, regardless of the criticism.
I don't get it. It just didn't make sense.
But he doesn't make sense a lot of times.
Did you watch him on Everyday Struggle?
Yeah,
since you
God, it's ridiculous.
I didn't understand what he was talking
about. I know what
he was
talking about. And then his pants were sagging. Why are you even have a belt on?
Why, I don't know why he be doing
like,
that.
You do it. He's just extra.
What did he come out and say? He was killing no cap?
No, he explained where that came from.
Talking about no
cap. Yeah, and that was cap, what he was talking about. Like, come on, man. Get the fuck out of here, man.
But that's Kevin Gates, though.
Yeah, but that's why I said don't ever change. Because, you know, we need it. We need that balance. You balance it out.
That's a shame, because that EP came out with the other week was it's fire, and that is getting overlooked.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
He made good.
I don't know about fire, but it's not bad.
Fire, perfect gym shit.
Make great music.
Oh, you in the gym?
When you you can't tell. The fuck?
That's why I asked.
Man, before we get to this music break, let's talk Hove. Jay-Z signed his mentor turned enemy turned friend again, Jazz O, to Roc Nation. For those who don't know, some of Jay-Z's earliest features and breakout moments came courtesy of Jazz O. Now, the two fell out early 2000s, but have since patched things up. Mm-hmm. Roc Nation will now distribute Jazz's label, Kings County Media Group. This is a big deal.
Brooklyn.
Or no deal?
I don't think this is any deal at all. It's just two friends mending things up and Jay-Z giving him a business opportunity. You're not waiting on the Jazz O album to drop under Roc Nation. I don't think it's going to open any additional doors. People that know Jazz O already look at him in a certain light, so any access that he was going to have, I think that he had that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think that joining Roc Nation does anything for him on a business standpoint, but I do think that opening the door for him and Jay-Z, as far as a friendship aspect, I do think that was a cool thing for him, for Jay to say that I am partnered with him. That may get him some additional looks outside of, you know, what they're doing as far as just business aspect and not musically. But I don't think it opens any doors musically additionally for him at all.
Yeah, I think it's a little deal. It's cool to see them bury the hatchet. Of course, everybody makes the joke of Jay-Z in the Hawaiian shirt.
Hawaiian Sophie.
They know that's kind of where he got his name from, Jazz O, Jay-Z.
Jazzy, yep.
So it's you know, that's a cool story to come full circle to see them patching things up. Am I looking forward to anyone on Kings County Media Group? Probably not.
Motherfuckers are ruthless.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, let's be honest, we're not checking for Jazz O. I'm not sure if it's him.
But that's what I'm about to say. Y'all don't know who's going to be on the imprint. Business deal, that's why it's a big deal.
I don't, but I seen what Roc Nation has done with Jim Jones, brought him back to life, so maybe he can get Kings County Media Group cooking. Or this may have just been a favor for an old friend to show love to pay back for the years that he shitted on. Well, who knows?
Whenever you can, as a friend, extend an olive branch and a business opportunity to your friend, I mean, we don't know what he can make out of this. I think Jazz O sees this as a big deal, and I'm right with him.
Of course.
Because he wouldn't have had his opportunity otherwise.
I agree.
So if I take an artist, and the artist happened to blow up because of Roc Nation, that's a huge deal. I think it's the beginning of a big deal. I'm happy to see it.
We won't hear anything from Jazz O for the rest of our lives.
But he's not. That's not him. Y'all keep mentioning him. He's not the artist. It's his imprint.
Who is his
artist?
We
know it's a media
deal. That's my point.
We know it's a media deal.
I'm a bit perplexed. What are you guys talking about?
Shout out to Hov bossing up, signing his enemies, man. I love Hov, man. That's
not his enemies. Jazz O put them on.
I don't think Hov seen the squad.
We wouldn't see Jay-Z if
he didn't see the squad over there at Kings Media and was like, man, I got to sign these niggas, man. I don't think that
was a favor for a favor.
Well, if Jazz O had enough
insight. Because if that was the case, I'd just cut you out and I'm going to sign you anyway. You Roc Nation, you going to stay over there with Kings County, bro?
Yeah, but if Jazz O had enough insight to find out Jay-Z early in his career, I'm sure he can pick out other talent as well.
But Jermaine Dupri is washed 20 years later, Jazz O is not got it.
But Jay-Z is the greatest rapper ever. Jermaine Dupri has never found anyone close to Jay-Z.
I'm talking about Jazz O.
Jazz O discovered Jay-Z.
He found like three of the biggest acts in music history with Usher, Chris Cross, and The Brat.
No one is Jay-Z. No one.
Thank you.
No one. He didn't find anybody. Usher is the closest thing.
Okay.
So give shout out to Jazz O. You need to respect Jazz O. Y'all got Jazz O fucked up.
Y'all let me know what that Jazz O sound
this nigga
like.
Ain't no new Jazz O, but not Jermaine Dupri.
It's not new Jazz O. It's his imprint.
Man, what's the music breaking? Please don't say Jazz O.
No, new Jazz O.
Of course not. See, you guys don't respect women or veterans, okay? The first break we have is from FBG, Zoe Dollaz, Work Too Hard. Shout out to the whole FBG gang, Zoe Dollaz, Future, what it is.
Let's hear it.
I done been betrayed by the same one that said they love me. Won't do it again. I gave a broke bitch my heart, she fucked me up. I had to charge it to the game, bitch, I'm a soldier. I done lost some real ones that ain't gon' come back to me. Fuck, I look like losing my mind over a group. Only time I feel alive when I'm on these perks. I'm clutching on my five niggas trying to murder me. If my mama's still alive, I'll be damn, she buried me. Put 100 on your squad for I let you hurt me. No, no. I work too hard for my name to let you come put dirt on it. I came up out of the mud, I emerged with no stain on me. And if it's beef, then it's beef, cause we ain't squashing shit. I jump in a whip, I got my Glock and shit. Yeah. I'm with the hitters, they be popping shit. And police ain't stopping shit. I gave you my back, I know you was gonna stab me in it. And my mama been done told me, but fuck it, I ain't listen. Yeah. I was broke with you, we done share the same
food. We are back. That was Young Zoe Dollars, Work Too Hard. How you feel about it?
I like Zoe Dollars' new project, man. I love the title of it. Y'all check for that later. It's for follow up on it. But I like this. I like the song. I like the project. Zoe Dollar surprised me as far as the project as a whole.
What did the song sound like,
though?
The one
song
that we just got through.
I said, I like the song. I like the song. Do you want any more? I was trying to fill airspace till you took over. I like the song is usually when you come in and say, well, this is what I think. But no, you didn't. So I was still talking about the album. What do you think?
The song, Work Too Hard, was actually pretty dope. Shout out to Zoe Dollars. I'm not the biggest fan. I've actually never really heard a full project. But I did like this record, though. It made me check out his project. Shout out to Zoe Dollars, man. I was impressed.
Yeah, it's a dope record, dope little vibe to it. I like the whole project, as Lou said, as well. They did their thing. I'm glad he finally got a chance to shine on his own.
Free bands.
Yeah, free band gang.
FBG.
All right, man. Let's talk music review time. Big Crit. Crit is here is
yes,
the
sir.
Project. It is kind of a sequel to Crit Was Here, maybe, sort of.
I don't know about a sequel.
Maybe not. However, you know how we get down, expectations, initial thoughts, highlights, lowlights, and then we'll finally have a rating, and we may have a couple of questions, one or two, to close out the topic. First things first, though, low, medium, high, where were your expectations with Crit?
I always have medium expectations for Crit just based off the Crit Was Here album and how dope that was when he first came out. I've always been a fan, though harshly criticizing sometimes, as far as just not living up to my personal expectations. As far as a career and an artist, I don't think that you could ask for more. Sticking with what he stays true to as far as his Southern roots and being a lyricist, I don't think you could ask for more as far as other than the position that he's been in. It was a rocky road getting here, and with all of that being said, my expectations are always medium or above. I would go with medium with this one just because I'm always here for new Crit. What about you?
Yeah, I'm medium as well. I thought he put out those trio of EPs late last year. They were some little cool. Mm-hmm. He strangely put them into one project at the beginning of the year for one reason or another.
Somebody else got paid for that.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Accessibility, actually.
That was under another distribution.
Ah, well, if it's for the bag, then it makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. But the music was cool. It wasn't bad. It wasn't just the shit like that. But I always have faith, man, with Crit that it'll give me something special. I know what he's capable of. Crit Was Here. We referenced that a lot on this show. It was fucking amazing. Amazing mixtape.
The holy grail of mixtapes.
Probably his best work. However, he has had heat since then. And so I'm always hoping that maybe one day that he will recapture something close to that Crit Was Here. And with him naming this album, I was a little scared calling it Crit Is Here.
It's a lot to live up to.
That's a lot to live up to, exactly, because it immediately made me want to go listen to that other joint. However, we're reviewing this, so I had to listen to this. And initial thoughts, I'm going to say I liked it. Didn't love it. First time I listened to it. Now, the second listen grabbed me, and it hasn't let go since.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really feeling this project. I'm proud of Crit on this one. I see growth. He only produced one track on here, mm-hmm. and that's big for him because he typically does his entire projects. As a matter of fact, I heard him on Breakfast Club say he has done 75% of – he's produced 75% of his music, and that's just him. So that's not a team, and then they really do the beat, and I put my name on – no, that's him on the boards, him doing his own shit, and he stepped away from that, and we got this – which makes me think he probably should have done that and taken a step back earlier. That's what we've been asking of Cole for the last couple of years. And it did wonders for Crit. So I'm really feeling this. He also, another thing that I liked about this was that he he brought back cohesive bars, right? So we're in a day and age, and we've talked about this before, it's kind of microwave, where one bar doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the following, and then the following, and then the following. They're all independent thoughts. Like this right
Lil
here.
Lil Wayne style of rap.
Exactly. Lil mixtape Wayne style of rap. Yeah. This album right here, he's got 4, 8, even entire verses where they're all themed and they all run concurrent together.
Yes.
And he, I think he made a conscious effort to do that, and, yes. and it just worked. What about you? When you listened to it, what did you think?
I think you hit on something that was perfect here as far as the production and him doing 75% of it. To be honest, you could tell on his previous records because though they were good and though they sounded like Crit, this record, I feel like he was able to focus more on rapping. Him being able to focus more on rapping yep. gives you those deep dive bars where he goes 3, 4, 5, 6 bars where he double it on top of each other, giving you different entendres. I feel like that he excelled as far as the rap joint of this. And I do agree as far as him not doing a lot of the beats gave him freedom to do a better album, to challenge himself more and to do things that we usually don't see from Crit. I think that he played with his flows a lot on here, mm-hmm. which was great for me. There were different tempos, different styles that you usually don't get from him. I like the features on the album. So my first time listening to it, my first thought and what jumped out to me was like, damn, he rapping his ass off on
for
here.
Sure.
And that's not to say that Crit hasn't been doing that prior to, but it was more noticeable here. And it was more noticeable because it was easier to follow. And I assume that's because he didn't have to take time out to do production as well on it. So the first thing, like I say, that stuck out to me was the bars and how well that he was rapping on his album. Crit's always been a dope rapper. He's always, I felt, kind of got the short end of the stick when you mentioned the rest of the guys from his generation, from Wale to Cole to Kendrick,
Sean,
the rest of those guys. You never really hear Crit, whether it be Southern biased or whether it just be is Crit. So now I feel like that he's coming to make sure that you are considering him when you mention the people of that generation. I think that he was successful in doing so.
And Mixer, what did you think when you first heard it?
When I first heard it, I just remember listening to like the first 7 songs and being like, this is what I've been waiting for from Big Crit.
Yep.
So when I first heard it, I really liked the project. Yep. Really liked the project. The production was pretty good. It's a different Crit we hear on here. And he mentioned on a Breakfast Club interview the direction of Rico Love, and I can see how he made sure he got the best out of Crit for this project. And
he executive produced it, didn't he? If I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure, but on the Breakfast Club interview.
Seems like a fun guy to hang out with.
I'm not sure where to take
that. I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
I'm just basing it off the Combat Jack stories of him making it rain in the strip club.
Okay.
Well, we didn't know that context.
I haven't heard that episode.
Breakfast Club interview.
I haven't heard it. I don't think I heard it.
There was a live show.
Rico Love? That's Rico Wade.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm actually way off then.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Shit.
All right. So keep going. Yeah. You heard the first 7 songs, yes, and they were good.
My goodness.
We just went down a rabbit hole
for right. No but he was just saying that how Rico Love was, challenging him to be, I'll do that again, make that verse a little bit longer or
for sure.
Rap harder on this with passion on this verse. And you can tell. I mean, he really did it on it.
I agree. Some of the standouts, some of the highlights for me, bars, obviously, specifically on Believe also on Every Time. The sports references on Every Time was super dope. And I kind of liken it to what he was trying to say was that, like, I'm coming through in the clutch every time. He was naming people that got rings, championships, people that stay at a high level of consistency over a long period of time. I thought that was super dope. Another highlight, which I didn't expect, was Lil Wayne's verse. When I heard the subject matter of the song, I just knew we were finna get Pussy Monster Wayne from like 2012. Mm-hmm. And I ain't want no parts of that. But Wayne snapped.
He killed it. And that's a dope record. Great radio record.
With him,
right there.
Sweetie, that shit is hard.
Yeah.
And then I also liked that he limited the coming down off of slab songs. Shout out to my guy, J-Hove. That's one of his biggest knocks on Big Crit, that sometimes he emulates Texas a little too much, emulates Pimp C a little too much. I'm coming down off a slab every other song. When you're not a Texas artist or when you're not a fan of Texas music like that, it's kind of, it's a little bit of a turn off if someone is constantly doing that when they have the capability to give you other different types of records. So he didn't do that much on here. He only did it on one song, technically, which is the Learn From Texas. And it was called Learn From Texas, so you kind of knew what you were going to get. You were going to get some Chopped and Screwed. You were going to get some Coming Down Off a Slab. But he limited it to one song. That's cool. I like that. So those are my highlights. What did you rock with on here specifically?
Bars, 100%. I think the bars were a highlight for me. And I think he put the album together well. It really flowed together as far as him putting those bars and telling the story of each song, just making sure that it stood out. I also, what stood out to me was him rapping on other people's beat. I do think that Crit was kind of nervous as far as jumping out there and doing a majority of an album with different types of producers. Yep. And I don't know if he was 100% confident on how that would sound. I think it came out great. I think that he was able to do a great job mixing it up with the different producers. And as it's beginning to be said with every feature that's done, J. Cole's verse.
Oh.
J. Cole. That's always a positive now. When we see featuring J. Cole, we know we're in for a treat. He absolutely came through and he murdered that.
Yeah, he killed that.
I love that. My favorite three-song stretch.
He saved that song, too. Because that song was good. J. Cole made it, though.
Yeah, he did make it, but I like the song. Yeah. If I had to go with my favorite three-song stretch from the album, that would be in it. It would go from Prove It to Family Matters to the Blue Flame Ballet. Mm-hmm. That's really good right there as far as that stretch of it. But yes. That's what stuck out to me, the album being put together and how he was able to show his cohesion with outside producers finally and able to excel with his bars over that outside production. So yeah. That was my big takeaway. What about you?
Yeah.
What worked for you, Big Dog?
Yes, it's now speaking of the Blue Flame Ballet, I love that record. It reminds me a lot of Organized Noize, Dungeon Family, Organized Noize and Rico Wade.
Yes, that Rico.
It reminds me of that all the way. I love it. I was just listening to that song vibing off it. It's a great, great song. And J. Cole
clearly nice now.
He killed it. Some of my favorite records, like I said, are in the beginning. I've been waiting to make it easy.
Make it easy.
Two of my favorite records on this album, and he's really just spitting. He's spitting fire on that. Hot fire. Yep. Shout out to Dylon. Hot fire on that. He is killing those records, and that's what I want to hear from Crit. Just give him all that you can on that mic.
Yeah, pause. What didn't work for me, I would say, was some of the slower tempo songs didn't work. I thought High Beams and Life in the Sun toward the end could have been scrapped. I think the fat could have been shed off of those. I got the concept and the idea of kind of switching up the sound, and I could respect that, but they just didn't work. And I also thought both of the interludes I could have done without.
I like the interludes. They were funny.
I didn't like, especially so early in the album. Number two was an interlude. It just threw off the vibe to me because the first song I like is super dope, The Crit Here, and it's up tempo, and then you just got into this interlude. I was like, is this a song? It just threw me off.
I think Carlos Miller, one of the comedians, and the other guy, I forgot his name. He did a great job.
Yeah, that ain't do nothing for me. I thought the interludes. He's funny. That's a funny dude. Funny. But I could have done without that in those two slow songs. What about you? What didn't work?
I did not like the Lil Wayne and Saudi song. That didn't work for me. And I didn't like Yellow Beezy. I didn't like the features from either one of those two. I think that they kind of dropped the ball on I Made It, kind of dropped the ball on Addiction.
Addiction
like
that is that record. I don't know.
Those didn't work for me. And with that being said,
for you.
Also,
for me.
Life in the Sun was kind of like a downer.
I agree.
Yeah, like that didn't – I think that could have been – X from the album and kind of kept it on the upbeat type of staying away from that, which I usually like those type of songs from Crit, but this one was just too like blah.
Yeah,
I agree. Those usually hit.
Yeah, those usually hit when he does that, but that did not work for me at all. What you got?
For me, because you got, we always reference Crit Was Here. My favorite Crit project is Return of Forever.
That's
so big. I like a lot of the Texas stuff and all of that.
I'm coming down.
Yeah, I like that because I grew up on all that. But I think the problem with this album that is a little bit too long. It definitely could have cut off High Beams.
Life in the Sun.
Yeah.
Just say those two songs.
Yeah. I mean, if he would have had this at 14 songs, that would have been damn near perfect.
Yeah.
And I learned something new about the last song, Mississippi, is actually an acronym. I forgot exactly what he said on the Breakfast Club show. Too much to say, but yeah. I love that he does that because he always drops some knowledge into whatever he does. Another reason why Crit is one of my favorite artists, for sure.
Absolutely. If I had to rate it, I got to give it 4 reels. Fire. Yeah. This is a fire project.
Yeah, it is.
I saw people online saying that this sounds like all his other stuff. And I was like, this absolutely doesn't sound like all his other shit at all.
This might be his most complete project to date.
Yeah, like literally, it doesn't sound like anything.
Nothing.
This, where did that come from? Why are people saying that? Somebody feel me.
Because they're not listening. They're skimming through the music.
Yeah, that voice. Explains. I think his voice like kind of sticks out to people, so people don't notice that it's kind of the maturation that's shown there on the versatility of what he's doing. People just stick to him sounding the same, like, literally.
They need to stay off Twitter with their opinions. Yeah, that was terrible.
I'm going to go with 4 Reels, Fire. I fuck with it. It's a dope-ass album. I think it was Crit's best album to date other than the mixtape of Crit Was Here. So the name, he definitely does deservingly so earn that one after I walk away from this. So I'm going to give it a superb rating.
Yeah, that would be 4.5.
Excuse me. Fire, 4.
All right. it has replay value, too.
Yeah, I give it 4 as well. It's definitely replay value. Like, I'm still playing it now. I'm finding the songs I really like. As I put it on shuffle and go back and dissect it. It's a really good project, Crit. I really appreciate the project for sure.
Absolutely. Now, a couple questions for this Crit album before we get Ghost. Does this prove that he made the right decision going independent?
Yes.
Yeah, because this is better than anything he ever offered on Def Jam. I feel like that there were a lot of people in his ear and contributing to that album that didn't have the Crit brand in mind. And it kind of took away from what the albums could have been, and this is him finally doing it 100% for his brand, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Now, he did mention that Nipsey was actually supposed to be on the Believe record. Mm. That's why he name-dropped him on the end. He was in the middle of making that song when it happened. Well, I mean, not literally, but he had the first verse done, and Nipsey was supposed to be on it. Is there a feature on here that you wish would have happened or that you think would have sounded dope on one of these records? I think Nipsey on that song would have been fire. If you go back and listen to that Believe and picture Nipsey on that would have been banging. I mean, it's already banging, but that would have been a perfect fit. Yeah. I like some type of Outkast feature on that Blue Fame Ballet.
Oh, man.
You took my
CeeLo or something on that.
Yeah,
ooh,
oh, my God.
Shit.
That would have been hard. That
would have been hard. Amelia Bacigo Andre on that.
He would have killed it.
Yeah. The Blue Flame Ballet.
I think Tip would have did a great job on any feature. I like Tip and Big Creek together. All the features they've done. So I think Tip, any song on this would have been great on him, for sure.
No Atlanta bias whatsoever, guys.
It's the king.
Y'all let us know what y'all think, man. Rap Chat, go to Facebook. What do you give it? What is your rating? Do you feel like this sounded like all his other ones, or are you more on board with what we're saying? Just let us know. Do we have another song break coming up, sir?
We do. This is Raleigh, North Carolina rapper Mez. He was on the Dreamville, number one album in the country, Dreamville album. 115 albums sold.
115 albums?
115,000 albums sold, excuse me. Yes, Young Mez was featured on the album. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina, and this is him featuring Landstrip Chip and Ween. It's called Upset. Check it out.
Like I live at the Louvre with the pieces. Cause I got Mona's and Lisa's. Then I send them home in the Uber. It's a carpool like Issa. Yeah. You won't get a verse for a discount. Gotta get paid for the features. Yeah, yeah. Dot to Miami. Shawty paid for the features. Says she pulling up with a best friend. And they close like Porsche and Ellen. Like Weinstein to the West End. Well, I guess that I'm blessed in. Need a Benz all white like the All Right. And that bitch ride like a Vault, right? Make a nigga stop at a whole light. Y'all like Saw Bay with a Saw Light. Name a nigga hotter. You don't wanna side a partner.
Oh, God.
Raleigh niggas got the product. Raleigh niggas got the product.
Oh, God.
Like Nick Foles with the upset. T-Mac with the comeback. I'm the one got him upset.
Running no money up constantly. That's why they mad at me, honestly. Yo. Stayed down so long and I came up, now they gotta see.
All right, man, we are back. That was Young Mez with Upset. How you feel about that?
Cool little vibe right there for the summer with Upset. So I'm not mad at that. And Landstrip Chip or Ween.
I think it's Ween. I want to say Ween or Winnie.
Short song. Not a bad song, though. I'm not mad at it. Shout out to Mez, though. Is that the same dude? I think that's the same dude that was on Compton that was writing for Dre.
Yep, that's him.
King Mez.
Yep.
I knew that voice sounded familiar. So, yeah, shout out to him. Yeah. Shout out to Landstrip Chip, though. I'm looking forward to his next project, too.
Yeah, it's a dope little track. Throw something different in there, especially for off of the Dreamville, piggybacking off of them unheard artists that a lot of people don't know. So I thought I'd throw that in there.
Too bad the Dreamville artists didn't drop anything.
Piggyback off of them.
They don't need to, man.
Too bad we didn't get something from them.
Shout out to the, heard from those guys.
That'd have been nice.
You know, hey, man, they enjoying their number one spot, man. Oh, they got heat cooking up.
What, 115 albums sold?
Right. 115,000. Your favorite label ain't going to do it.
What is my favorite label? Good Music? Let's get it.
Yeah, they won't do it. QC won't even do it. You sell 115 out the gate? It won't happen. Won't happen.
If Migos on it.
It won't happen.
Lead Migos single?
Yeah, that's it. That's money.
Not gonna happen. I bet money they're going to happen.
Throw Cardi on
it. It's coming, and I bet it ain't going to happen.
Throw Cardi and Migos on this? All right.
Cardi and Chico.
Question of the week, man. My guy.
Oh, shit. Look at P.
My guy, Master P, was on
Final Worst Picture.
His glasses are hilarious.
Well, he was on Full Size Run, and he told a story of he and Anthony Mason playing Jordan.
Oh, not Anthony Mason. Him and Ron Artest.
Oh, Ron Artest.
Yeah. Ron Artest was on his team. Yeah. So was Anthony Mason.
No.
I think he said that.
So Master P says he and Ron Artest and maybe Anthony Mason beat Jordan's team in a game of pickup one summer, and that the police were almost called. Now, whether you believe this or not, or whether Jordan would confirm this or not, it hasn't happened yet. What are some of the most craziest and memorable hip hop stories that you have heard?
One, this is the story of the reason why Michael Jordan hates rappers. If you don't know that story, that's a good one as far as when he told Nori that. My favorite
that was funny.
Is E-40 and Biggie. When E-40 thought that Biggie was talking about him, this allegedly happened. The young niggas, without any direction from E-40, went and kidnapped Biggie on his way to the studio, took him to E-40. They called, woke E-40 up out of his bed, asked what he wanted them to do with him. He was like, man, I didn't even want y'all to kidnap him, first of all. Like, let him go. It ain't that serious. And it was because he said the E-40 record wasn't dope that week or something like that.
He was in a magazine, and he said they asked him about some West Coast shit.
He said something crazy about E-40, and E-40 sent the goons, allegedly, but the goons showed up, and Biggie had to answer for that. I think that's one of my favorite stories from back in the day. What do you got?
Yeah, one of my favorite, again, I don't know how true it is the whole Big Pun and Jay-Z allegedly got hit in the head with a bottle in the club.
The bottle over Rockefeller head.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone has actually came out and confirmed it. Has Fat Joe talked about this? But
yeah.
No.
Oh, he did?
Nori talked about it and Fat Joe.
They didn't confirm that Jay-Z got hit over the head, did
I said they talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say they did. I said they talked about it. It's on Nori. It's on Drink Champs, one of the Drink Champs. Drink Champs with Fat Joe.
I probably won't hear it then. But that was a very interesting story. I always thought that was crazy and wild. And if social media was around back then, shit would have been bananas.
I would have thought you was going to go for P putting Pimp C in the trunk.
Nah, we know that story legit. You ain't talking about nothing. Yeah. Run up on P with that bullshit.
And what happened?
Shit.
Yeah. He called him and apologized. What happened?
He showed up at the hotel.
Jay Prince smoothed it out. And that happened. They called him slipping. Ain't nothing Pimp C could do about that. They called him slipping.
However.
You talking about shooting bail. This nigga got put in a trunk.
What you going to do when niggas walk outside and put you in a trunk right now? What you going to do? No. You can't do anything. You're by yourself.
Pimp C
was by himself.
I also know when to talk to a nigga like P and when not to talk crazy to a nigga like P. So I won't find myself in a trunk. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So,
any memorable story, sir, or no?
My favorite story is, I have a few from this guy's Dame Dash. He was running around the Def Jam offices screaming at everybody in that meeting.
Yeah,
wow. That was the funniest shit. Because he was just so belligerent and obnoxious.
With the jacket.
No, that's when they were on the concert. Okay. I'm talking about when they had a board meeting. And he was like, you trying to keep me out of these fucking meetings? And he's going around.
Oh, the meetings without
me. Yeah.
That's your man, Dame.
Yeah. Jay did that. Jay was having the meetings without Dame.
As he
should have.
Jay was always 10 steps ahead, man.
Are they ever going to make up?
Eventually. Him and Jazz-O did. It'll just take 30 years and no one will care about it.
Yo, God, it's a long time coming.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's going to happen at all.
On Decker of the Week, I am on Facebook for this. Shout out to Barry Jennings II.
Young Barry Jones.
Absolutely. He said, does M Extra have a Dreamville tattoo or is he on payroll? Every low light Spike Lee and AB said about the Dreamers album, he got defensive about it. Shout out to Barry Jennings the second. Barry you are Jennings. On Decker of the Week. Yeah, you are absolutely that was right. Spot on.
That was a great that was observation. And it seems that I was right about my everything I said. Shout out to Billboard.com for confirming that Jid was a standout on the Dreamville album, as I stated. But yeah, young Barry Jennings the second?
Is it?
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. I can only imagine what you look like, sir.
Barry, you gotta draw a fucked up picture of him. You know he's an artist.
Oh, can he?
Oh yeah.
You can't really. I mean, I'm handsome as fuck. How you gonna draw a fucked up picture?
It won't take much. Give us a fucked up cartoon. Give us the Beavis and Butthead cartoon of him.
We love it, Barry. And sign it for me, Barry, and ship it to me.
Oh shit.
Thanks for listening to the show, Barry. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. New music, what we got?
Last week, we had a few things we just discussed. The best album of the week was Big Crit.
Easy.
Crit is here. I'm laughing because the rest of these are kind of funny. DJ Luke Nasty with Distractions came out last week.
Ultra Skip.
Skip.
Who is DJ Luke Nasty?
He had a hit last year, about 2 years ago.
When he stole Anderson Paak's song and flipped it. Yes.
On the Way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool Keith had an album called Keith.
Oh, my God. Super slow.
And Lil Duke, shout out to Lil Duke, man. The whole YSL, shout out to Young Thug. Lil Duke came out, Blue Devil 2.
Mm. This is one of Young Thug's artists?
Yeah, YSL. Yeah.
No Love for I Got the Hook Up 2 soundtrack? Nice, you tried to skip None. Over that.
It's trash, shout just out, like the movie.
Shout out to I Got the Hook Up 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, it's really bad. Really
the
bad.
Movie was bad?
Was it?
So I heard.
Oh,
have you seen the movie?
Not yet. I ain't get a chance to watch.
What? I thought not you were gonna say. Yeah, they said it was trash. All
right.
In my Joe Budden voice. Trash.
Who is they?
Everybody.
We don't trust them.
That LaVell Crawford new special was trash.
It was. I told you it was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
You said you fell asleep on it.
That's how bad it was.
You should have prepped for that. That nigga, something wrong with his voice. He done lost weight. It's just all.
No, I laughed a couple of times. Don't do it.
I do.
Also, Burner and Currency.
But I mentioned that last week.
Fino Grigio?
Yeah, Fino Grigio. I mentioned that last week.
Or Pino Grigio?
It's Fino. Coming up this week, we have Inspector Deck coming out tomorrow with Chamber Number 9. Mm. We have Iggy Azalea. She's back in my defense.
He's about a month too late.
Brandon Banks is Maxo Cream's new album coming out, so I'm kind of looking forward to Maxo's project. He ripped that Dreamville as well. He ripped his verse.
I'm looking forward to listening to this Crit again this weekend. Obviously, nothing else is out.
I got some more.
Okay. Go ahead.
Lil Reese is coming back. Get Back Gang 2.
Did they ever verify was that him that got beat up?
That was.
And shitting on himself?
He didn't shit on him. Nice try, man. Yeah, Lil Reese, that was Spike Lou.
That's right. We want
to
do that, man.
You
shout
said
out to
it
Lil
was.
Reese.
Shout out
you
to Chicago.
Shout out to the whole shot. The Lost Tapes, Nas is coming out.
That's this week?
That's what they have it as July 19th.
Hey.
MERS and Ninth Wonder. I'm looking forward to this album coming out as well. It's called The Iliad Is Dead and The Odyssey Is Over.
Ninth Wonder got to do with somebody else, man.
MERS.
He got to do some shit with somebody else, bro.
I was listening to that Little Brother this weekend.
I love Night One. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like. I'm not into MERS though. He need to do something. He need to go the Mad Lib route and get with somebody unconventional that more people are listening to.
And shout out to another Atlanta artist coming out. Surprise, we run it. Light Skin Keisha coming out. Act Up Season. Shout out to Light Skin Keisha, the whole gang.
Damn, I know she was from here.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I got.
There it is, man. I'll be listening to Crit all weekend. What do you got on deck, sir?
Slow Motion this weekend, man. Where you got up?
Okay. I'll be in,
another watched weekend for Spike Lou.
Shit. I'll be in Chicago. Shout out to Complex Con. Shout out to my guy Jazz, Derb, what up? And make sure we're going to be in the building. Chicago people, what's good? Fuck with your boy. I'm trying to come up on some kicks, though, man. That's a couple exclusive drops dropping.
Yeah,
I
man.
I need them.
Yeah, I'm going, as you just heard, to Complex Con as well. I love Chicago, one of my favorite places. Shout out to the whole South Side. Harold's Chicken, I'm coming. CC, what's up? We in there.
CC, what's up? Who is CC? What are we going to do?
Yeah, don't do that. All right. Yes, sir, we in there.
Let's make it happen. Hey, man, we'll see y'all next week. Do us a favor. Go to iTunes, leave a comment, subscribe, and rate. Peace. We'll see y'all next time.
We out.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.